The baby boomers led waves of dramatic culture changes. Their voices raise awareness of consumerism, retirement programs, higher education, healthcare, and civil rights transformations. Now, the baby boomers have reached an age where it is our turn to give back to them for their voices, their struggles, and their footprint on the society we benefit from today. Boomer Living Podcast is dedicated to the support and the enhancement of senior living and the baby boomers' needs and demands. We welcome conversations between caregivers, providers, gerontologists, geriatricians, neurologists, technologists, developers, and operators with one objective: to serve our baby boomers. By bringing together these experts and the baby boomers' families, we can share our knowledge that will educate and inspire others on how to care for the baby boomers. We're a social platform that focuses on the respect and care of this aging population that gave their youth and their wisdom to the society we benefit from today. Today, I'm excited to look at senior care facilities from an angle that I think it's getting more and more interest, and that is HVAC and air quality. Our guest today on the show is Cliff Ewing. He's a HVAC engineer who works with other engineers, architects, and owners on the HVAC projects across the country. I'm really interested to see his perspective on the impact of HVAC services on the senior living facilities, commercial real estate, especially the impact of COVID on this field. So Cliff, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Han. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on the topic of HVAC.
Great, thank you. So let's start by having you share with the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what projects are you working on right now?
Yeah, that's great. Again, my name's Cliff Ewing. I'm with a company called Carrier Enterprise. I've been in the HVAC field for a little more than 7 years now. Currently reside in Franklin, Tennessee, working on a wide range of projects from multifamily projects to healthcare, freestanding ERs, and commercial real estate.
Great, great. Okay, for starters, can you begin reminding all of us HVAC, what that stands for, and what kind of services that you work on?
Yeah, absolutely. Just from 10,000 foot view, HVAC is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. And with COVID and this current pandemic, ventilation is really getting a strong focus. And ASHRAE, the American Society for Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers, defines ventilation as supplying or removing air from a space to control contamination levels, humidity, and temperature. That's why ventilation is getting so much focus, is that contamination level. So you can bring in more outside air to dilute those contamination levels. And depending on how the building's being used or occupied, you can bring in more outside air and dilute and reduce those levels of transmission. But if the building has an existing HVAC system, it's been designed to introduce a certain amount of outside air. Sometimes it can't handle bringing more outside air in. Because it's summertime, you have hot, humid air. Wintertime, you have cold, dry air. And for assisted care facilities, you want to make sure that health is paramount, of course, but also comfort. And you can't bring in more outside air and it's too warm in the summertime because that equipment just can't handle that load, or in the wintertime, it's just too cold because it's just not designed to handle all that. But there are some other options.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm going to go back just a little bit. I feel like HVAC has been sort of not given enough attention historically. And obviously the pandemic has definitely brought the ventilation to the forefront. So I know you touch on the use, the benefits of the HVAC. Let's maybe do a little deeper dive on mm-hmm. how can the ventilation be used to slow the spread of the coronavirus?
So the ventilation can be used by, like I said previously, the dilution of the air. So what you're doing is, instead of that air that's being recirculated through the building, you're bringing in outside air, which dilutes that recirculated air. So it's replacing fresh air or freshening up the building with that outside air. Additionally, there's other products that can be introduced into the airstream of the equipment that allows for sterilization, purification as well.
So increasing ventilation may sound like an easy fix in theory, but I'm sure there's not always the case in practice. Now, do some types of industries have an easier time increasing ventilation than others?
Certainly, if you have, say, a warehouse where you can sacrifice some of the comfort for the increase of outside air, if the infrastructure like the duct and that sort of thing is large enough to allow for that. But when you don't have those capabilities, then you have to come up with a more creative kind of layered approach to solving that problem of poor air quality, infectious disease, and that sort of thing.
So specifically, is it hard for long-term care communities to increase the ventilation? And can you explain why?
So yes, it is hard for them to increase ventilation because your equipment is going to be sized for, typically it's going to be the code standards, and that code standard is going to be somewhere around 15 to 20% outside air. And even though you're bringing in outside air, nowadays with ASHRAE and the CDC, they're recommending bringing in more outside air, opening windows. And now that the temperatures are starting to drop, it's just not feasible for a facility that's entrusted with 24/7 care to just bring in that cold air at night, bring in that warm air during the day. We want to make sure that everyone is safe. We have administrative safeguards, but we also want to make sure everyone's comfortable. The facilities are not designed and the equipment's not designed to bring in more outside air than what the code is designed around.
I see. So are there other options to help stop the spread of corona through HVAC interventions aside from ventilation?
Absolutely. I like to go with the acronym that my colleague Douglas McNamara coined. It's SPF. And we're all familiar with SPF when it comes to skincare, but SPF when it comes to indoor air quality stands for sterilization, purification, and filtration. And it starts from the inside of the equipment and works its way out. So sterilization is sterilizing the internal components mm-hmm. of the HVAC equipment. So usually you're going to use something like a UVC light, and that shines inside of the equipment and sterilizes the equipment, so molds and bacteria and viruses cannot be harbored inside of the equipment. You want to make sure that you're using a light that's tuned to about 254 nanometers, and it's very specific, but that's a common piece of equipment in the HVAC industry. And the reason they use that is it will penetrate the cell membranes of microorganisms and the lipid membranes of viruses, and it destroys the DNA and RNA. So renders the viruses inactive and kills microorganisms. There are other types of UV lights out there called vacuum UV, and those are not recommended for occupied spaces because those are known to create ozone, and ozone is unhealthy for occupied spaces. Make sure you're specifying the 254 nanometer UVC lights. That'll keep everyone safe. And then when it comes to the purification portion, these are devices that are usually downstream of the HVAC equipment. So on the leaving side of the fan as the air is moving. And there's two types of those. There's active purification devices, which means it distributes to the conditioned space. And then there's passive, means that the air needs to pass over the device for it to purify the air in the space. A couple options for active purification devices are needlepoint bipolar ionization. It's a long term. Needlepoint bipolar ionization and photocatalytic oxidation devices. And there's a lot of options in the market out there, a lot of different manufacturers that produce those devices. And then for passive, you have UVC lights again. Those can be a passive device. And then you also have activated carbon. So there's a lot of options out there, and there's a lot of different manufacturers as well. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that the equipment is at least UL 867 certified, which means low ozone production, or UL 2998 certified, which means no ozone production. But really need to know your space, because they do a lot of different things. They'll mold UVC reduction, particulates that float freely in the air. It will agglomerate those so they clump together so it's filtered better. You just really need to know your space. And not only is it viruses that you want to take care of, but they do a lot more. So some do things better than others. So really understanding your space, you can get an engineer to help you pinpoint which device would be best.
Sure.
And finally, there's filtration. And filtration is an integral part of an HVAC system. There will be filters installed. But you want to make sure that your filters have been upgraded if possible. ASHRAE recommends at least a MERV 13 filter, and MERV is minimum efficiency rating value. So that just means how well it can capture those smaller particulates. So it goes anywhere from low MERV all the way up to HEPA filtration like they have in hospital OR rooms. So if your equipment can handle it, increasing the efficiency value of your filters is really important, because let's take like a dining room or maybe an activity hall in an assisted living facility. You have about 4 air changes per hour. And that means taking the total volume of the air in the room and changing over. So 4 times in an hour. And when that's happening, that's the only time those small particulates can get trapped in that filter. Making it much more efficient means at each pass, you have a greater and greater chance of capturing viruses, molds, and small particulates that can really aggravate breathing and people with asthma and that sort of thing.
Thank you so much for all the insight. Many considerations to sort out, and knowing your own situation, your own current system, or maybe even new designs to incorporate all of which you're discussing. Now, the communities are implementing layer strategies to make buildings safer. There are health checks at the door, social distancing, enhanced cleaning, face masks, and many more. So is there a similar layer strategy for the HVAC system?
Yeah, absolutely. All HVAC systems will have the filtration. Many of them will not have the sterilization with UV lights inside the equipment and the purification devices. That layered strategy, starting with the filters, you can increase filtration. And then if the budget allows it, and if it's a renovation or if it's new construction, then you can add purification, you can add the sterilization. So it's certainly, there's no one silver bullet that's going to be the best, just like the administrative protocols of hand washing and social distancing and face coverings. There's no silver bullet, but if you can layer those strategies for the HVAC system, you'll create a healthier and safer building in the process.
So can HVAC make quarantining situations like isolation more successful?
Absolutely. You can target spaces. Say there's a ductwork that's going specifically to one area and one room that you want to use as maybe like a visitation room at a facility. You can focus a purification device that will send the ions, if it's needlepoint bipolar ionization, specifically into that space. But also there's other options like mobile devices, which actually on casters, it can be wheeled into a room and plugged into a 115-volt socket. And it uses HEPA filtration. It has its own independent fan. So what it's doing is it's constantly changing that air over the entire time people are in the room. So you can make sure that, you know, it's HEPA filtration, so it's 99.9% efficient for very small particulates, including viruses. So it's constantly turning that air over and cleaning the air. There's even some devices that not only have the HEPA filtration, but they also have UV light as well. So it's doing filtration and sterilization constantly. So opens up not only an isolation room, but you know, you could even do an activity room as well. If you're limiting people coming together because of a safeguard, you can have those devices in place and you're constantly cleaning and sterilizing that air in the space.
Wow, great information. So I understand there are even portable isolation solutions that can be wheeled from room to room. So I think these will be very useful in long-term care situations where residents are often confined in their room. Now, can you tell us a little bit about how these machines would work?
Like I was explaining before, instead of relying on the HVAC system, because all of these devices require them to at least the fan to be running for that air to move in either active purification devices are being sent to the space, or if it's passive, that air needs to go back to the device. So you must have that HVAC system running. With the mobile devices, since they are independent and they have their own fan, those can be, like you said, wheeled into the spaces, simply plugged in, and that is constantly changing that air over and either trapping it in the filter or trapping it in the filter and killing it with UV light. So that adds that benefit. And we've seen some success with equipment like that in even schools as well. So there's a great benefit to it when you know you can't change the HVAC system. Either it is, the filters can't even be upgraded. This is a good option where you can target specific locations in a building and allow those loved ones to spend time with their family.
Now, what long-term impact do you think the pandemic will have on the HVAC system and specifically the senior living focus HVAC industry?
I think some of the long-term impacts is we're going to have to look at overall system design. When we think about minimum outside air, that was really pushed by an energy initiative to bring down the total energy usage of the building. I don't see that going away, but I do see the design is going to have to get more strategic when it comes to how you're returning air back to the system. Because a lot of times we'll have a single air return, and now we need to distribute that out more evenly across the building, because returning that air to the HVAC system is going to be important for not only the technologies, but we don't want that air path to move in just one location. When you have infectious diseases, and hopefully we won't have any more pandemics in the near future, but you need to make sure that air path isn't just going across one area of the room. You want to divide it up so it's that return is more spread out and it's diluting that path of pathogens going back to the equipment.
All right. So we talked a lot about the impact of the pandemic. What are some of the benefits of increased air quality in general?
Well, in general, there's reduction in molds and mildews. You can help with VOCs. All of those things are irritants, and they also really are beneficial when it comes to just the overall happiness and healthiness of the occupants in the building. If you don't have the opportunity to bring in the fresh air, but if you can have fresher air that's being constantly recirculated in your building, it's like the same thing as having that fresh outside air introduced into your building. And one thing I would hate to see with indoor air quality in general is that once the pandemic is over, I would hate to see that these technologies are pushed by the wayside. Once it's not a one-time fix, it really does help the health and the happiness of the occupants in the building.
Absolutely. And then again, we never planned, we never knew the pandemic would be this size and that it would come, you know, to this magnitude. So it's always good to take these lessons learned and incorporate that from the get-go.
Absolutely. We know we will get on the other side of this, but we want to make sure that some of the benefits that we get from adding more ventilation, adding these devices, we don't want to just put those on the chopping block when the next time we need to look at the budget and figure out what how we can save money. We just really need to evaluate how this device is helping with the not only just the occupants, but it actually keeps the equipment cleaner and running in a more efficient manner as well.
So now you mentioned the benefits of increased air quality overall in general. So do these benefits have disproportionately positive impact on aging adults or have a weaker immune system?
Well, certainly as you get older, the immune system isn't as strong as it was once before. And so improving the air quality is always going to be at the most benefit for those with the lower immune response. Anyone who has respiratory issues, improving the indoor air and getting rid of those fine particulates is going to improve the quality of life, molds and those sort of things. Any respiratory irritant, most of these indoor air quality devices will assist with that and make quality of life.
Makes sense. So do you have any other thoughts that you would like to share with the listeners?
Well, the last thing is assisted living facilities, and they're caring for some of our greatest assets in this country, people that we've learned from, we love, and we want to make sure that we can take care of them the best that we can. And indoor air quality will really improve the quality of life for these great people that we love and care about.
Yeah, thank you for what you're doing, offering technologies for better air quality, improving yours and mine, regardless of any age. But since the older adults are more vulnerable, and hopefully all of the technology you describe are cost effective so that we can incorporate them from the get-go and perhaps make some modifications on the existing design.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you again for the opportunity to speak on the topic, and I'm happy to answer any more questions that you have.
Awesome. Good talking to you. We'll stay in touch.
Sounds great. Thank you, Han.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Boomer Living Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, boomerliving.tv, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and other platforms. This way, you'll never miss a show. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we would really appreciate a rating in iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us tremendously. Be sure to tune in weekly for our next episode. And remember, growing old is the purest and the most positive experience of human existence.